Wake up, Shinigami. You're chugging bleach with the only podcast that unlocked your bunkai.
Welcome to Chugging Bleach, the anime podcast where we review all of Bleach, and we're having our year anniversary. Whoa, a year of watching all of Bleach.
Are you serious?
We've covered 1/8 of the content.
Oh my
God. To be fair, 1 month we decided to watch something Bleach shaped, and that,
yes.
I don't know if that counts, but you know, it happened.
That's true. That was what happened 1 month. Mr. Fuel, I'm going to ask you to clarify. Are you being serious right now when you say an 8th?
No, it's more like a 5th.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We're farther than I thought.
We're doing good.
Hey, I don't know how long that last season that's coming back could be.
Don't worry. There are also all the movies.
Yeah, there's also
They brought in Kubo, and Kubo's like, I wanted to add some more, so I can get 100 episodes more material out of this.
Ooh, I'd love that.
I'm going to need more excuses to draw Ichigo blatantly, but with the numbers 6 and 9 in some arrangement.
I don't understand why this character's so popular.
Anyway, we should probably introduce the hosts here.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Oh, shit.
I'm Bob Video Games. I'm here with Dan.
Hi, how's it going?
KZ from KZExcellent.com.
Your sword will no longer be able to kill me except when it does.
This dude's reading from my notes.
And of course, Mr. Field from Mr. Field's Wild Ride.
Damn, these bitches gay. Good for them.
This week we're reviewing episodes 52 through 57, is that right?
Yes, that is right.
57, okay. 6 episodes. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ooh.
I hear we're watching 6 episodes at a time as of late, so we get a good cutoff. I assume that's happening next time.
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, the arc ends in 6 episodes.
That seems crazy.
Your life motherfucking ends in 6 episodes.
The mallet is called filler.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Before we get into the episodes, though, Phil, can you tell us how to get early access to this show?
Well, if you would like early access to Chugging Bleach, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcasts. As little as $5 a month gets you early access to this and our other anime review podcast, Mondo Cool, where we review every Dragon Ball movie. It also gets you extended armchair dev pitches. We have a show called Armchair Devs where we harm each other, and you get the more thorough version of that, as well as Cursed Content Club commentary tracks and a Patreon-exclusive show called Cursed Content by Committee that is user-voted and also comes with a commentary track. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you, Phil. Now, Dan, we watched 6 episodes.
We sure fucking did.
I'm going to need you to try and get us through them.
Okay, here we go. So we started with episode 52, and we had a new intro, but something was wrong. We used to have the very, very iconic image of Yoruichi's cat face doing the point at me face every time we would show the sponsors. But now we have Ichigo's face from this intro and it looks bad and I'm really upset. What a downgrade.
Yeah.
They keep doing those and it's like, I get the way they're used in the intro because it's like quick cuts. It's supposed to be like a flashing light in a music video.
Mm-hmm.
But then as they freeze frame on it, it just looks bad. I don't know why they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we started this episode with like a little reminder of where we are. We got Ichigo battling his son Bakuto more. That's, you know, he's in the desert training column.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the fuck did he learn to become 4 guys? Did I miss that?
No, that happened in between episodes for sure. Because I had the exact same reaction of he was not 4 guys last time I fucking saw him.
Oh,
I guess he mastered Tien's technique.
Yeah, Zangetsu was 4 fucking dudes when we cut to that training. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all.
I just glazed over like, yeah, that's normal.
By the way, this is just my headcanon. I'm going to check if everyone's in the same headspace as me. I like to think of this training area as the desert form of a kiddie pool that's normally above water, but it's underground, right? So it's just this cylinder of plastic lining that just goes around a desert, and then you have to install it under your house.
Oh my God. Huh.
That's the way...
Okay, I can understand it.
Like an above-ground pool, but underground in a desert. Anyway, so we cut to that. We cut to them battling. It's cool. Zangief says, to have fought for so long and still be going is admirable. Do you want to continue? And then Ichigo does his smile. We all know him for. And we cut away from that. We're done with that.
Okay.
We cut to Renji has already beaten up a bunch of jobbers in an alley. He's going to save Rukia. They are, one of them's like, please don't own me. Please calm down. Don't do any of this. And then Renji leaps away instead of beating him up. And then one more guy gets up to show us maybe he didn't murder the other five.
Right.
He only made them wish they were dead.
Yeah, that's all. So he starts running. He keeps running. He's thinking Rukia. Lots of flashbacks. Lots of thriftiness. And then he runs through that iconic arch leading up to where she was being detained. And then spiritual pressure hits like a fucking edible. And he goes, this spiritual pressure, Captain Kuchiki!
Where are you going, Renji?
It's very good. It's you get this dialogue from across
the roof. Paul St. Peter?
Because Kuchiki's really cool and I can't do his voice.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
He got an upgrade. I'm sorry. But yeah, yes, where Reggie's going, and he goes, to save Rukia! And then they do some dialogue. None of it's important because my literal next note is Renji saying, I know about your special flash step when you go behind an opponent and quarter spin something, something own people. And because I know that, my body can react to it in time.
Now it's his turn. Now it's Renji's turn to be like, I'm going to use video game logic to defeat you.
Yes. Yes.
Or is like, I recognized your telegraph like you're a Souls boss, and now I can avoid that attack.
Kuchiki, you know, he's not having this shit. He disregards this line of thinking and just tells Renji that he's totally screwed. But Renji goes, Captain Kuchiki, you can no longer kill me with that sword.
Sometimes they say things and I'm like, this will be bolded in Dan's notes.
These were there was a lot of Stinko Man energy in these episodes.
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. I sat here for most of these episodes going, this is literally the six episodes everyone who wrote parody of anime was thinking of in the early aughts when they wrote that shit, or the mid aughts.
Now, I know you know how my power works, but just in case you forgot.
So Renji summons his Bankai. Kuchiki goes, or no, he summons his Sanpakuto, right? He unleashes it. Kuchiki goes, you unleashed your Sanpakuto without calling its name. Does that mean you ... question mark?
Yeah, that's so this whole set of episodes is that, right?
Yeah, basically. Renji then unleashes his Bankai. It's sending shit everywhere. There's red lightning, there's tornadoes, it's really cool. And I believe he calls it Kikyo Sabimaru, but I'm not sure if it's Kikyo.
I heard Hikyo, but
Someone could double check. Giant bone snake segmented with flames, spirit flames connecting them. Very, very cool.
Yes.
Probably fought this thing in a couple Castlevania games.
Mm-hmm.
So Kuchiki takes to the sky as the snake just starts attacking him and shit, and then the snake starts chasing after him through the air, and it looks like it's kind of like going to bite him. It's going to slam him to the earth. Kuchiki, he just calmly goes, I see. Its power is truly at the level of Bankai. However, that power isn't enough. And then he does a cool a cool thing with pink cherry blossoms and blades, and the parts of the snake explode apart. It's like, oh shit, he just owned Renji's Bankai. But then it reconnects, and it's like, oh shit, no he didn't. And then Renji's like, yeah, no, that was connected with my spirit energy. Of course, I just stopped keeping it together and then brought it back together. By the way, check this out. Boom! And then the snake explodes out of the ground, knocks Kuchiki down on one knee, which earlier in this fight, Kuchiki said was impossible, that Renji couldn't even get him down on one knee, and then he did.
L.
I feel things right now.
And now, because I have no connecting sentences. We're just going to go with Kuchiki just goes Hado 33 Sokatsu. A giant blue flame explosion occurs. Then he goes, somebody says, that's a mid-level Kido without the spirit chant. Just explaining exactly what he pulled off and why it might be impressive. Kuchiki goes straight into the best meme in Japan. The strongest meme of, you need to train for 10 years after learning Bankai to learn to control it completely because Bankai are huge and stupid.
Which totally applies all Bankais. Definitely.
Forever.
Forever.
Yes, absolutely.
Like many lines in this set of episodes.
Yeah, this is definitely going to age the best.
Highlight it.
I found it. It's Hihio.
Hihio?
Yeah, H-I-H-I-O.
Okay.
It's laughing. Yo.
Kuchiki yells, I believe, Bakuro 61. And then stabs Renji with what I call light flashes? Arrows? Question mark?
That seems to be the same ceiling thing that got done to Ichigo really early on, if I remember right.
Ah.
I think that's what happened.
That kind of makes how he takes this pretty sad, but...
Well, it, obviously, but Byakuya's seal is way stronger.
Mm.
It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Kuchiki then unleashes his Bankai, which is incredibly fucking dope. For people who don't know how that looks, it's like a hallway, a pathway lined with swords at the left and right sides, eternally going, which stab up out of the ground and then explode into petals. Renji gets super owned. There's a black and white blood explosion of Renji. And then Bob just cracks up and goes, happy people, doo-boo-boo.
There we go.
I was like, yep, that would have been perfect. Just freeze frame. Kuchiki then explains how cool he is, which is most of what he does in these set of episodes. And he goes, one cannot count the sheer quantity of blades. Just let it pass through you like the wind. That is all you can do. He then compares Renji to a monkey reaching for the moon, but it's just a reflection in a puddle, so he keeps falling into the water. This difference between us is a difference of class. Renji could never hope to reach me. Like, it's just so, he just keeps digging and digging and going in.
All I wrote was Byakuya is classist. I didn't go any farther than that.
Renji's just getting eviscerated while Yagi is lecturing.
Seethe and cope.
Going. It just keeps cutting to him just being eradicated.
It's so fucking ridiculous. The dude's bleeding so extremely. And Kuchiki's like, maybe I should own him publicly. That feels like...
That's what he really needs right now.
Need this on top of that for sure. Renji, thinking about everything, thinking about all this, is incredibly upset. He rushes him again and gets owned immediately, and then his Bankai disappears, and Kuchiki goes, when a Bankai disappears without its owner's permission, it means their death is near.
Definitely always true.
I'm bolding
definitely
it.
Definitely not something that just got fucking made up.
I'm just bolding that. There we go. Renji thinks about how cool Ichigo is and uses that to inspire himself to say the same shit he heard Ichigo saying. And then bleed everywhere while running. Because he's going to attack him one more time. As he tries to strike Kuchiki, Renji's sword shatters completely. And then he just eats shit and falls to the ground. Kuchiki goes, congratulations. Very admirable.
You're very honorable.
Sick meme. Very cool.
Good joke. Did laugh.
To a corpse.
Yes.
Something I forgot to talk about. As he's getting stabbed by this crazy Bankai of Byakuya's, Renji's outfit, which was different, I believe, as he goes into this battle, explodes into a very, very different look. That's almost like Fist of the North Star-like garb, because it's just shitty fucking fabric that's been blown to shit.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be fur.
Yes.
So it's like a fur thing.
Did he have the fur thing at the start, or did it like pop on him when he did his Bankai?
It pops on for the Bankai.
So it's a good look.
Very cool.
Very cool. Then we get into the end of this episode and the beginning of the next, which is just even more savage than this shit Byakuya just pulled. But we cut to the bridge. Ruki is being escorted across. She notices spiritual power disappears. She couldn't recognize that was Renji's spiritual power until it stopped being so Chad-like.
Then it was very obvious.
She says this.
Yeah.
It was very clear who it was.
Yeah, then it was obvious. That's literally what she says. It's so insane. And as she thinks about this and how she didn't recognize her friend but ripped, Ichimaru shows up and smirks.
Oh, man, mugging to the camera yet again.
Yep. Dude was at his computer, looked towards the camera, gave a thumbs up and nodded. And then we get to the outro. I have no idea why this outro looks so bad on this Blu-ray. It's just an interlaced nightmare almost the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Actually,
in the normal episodes, there's only one scene that's anywhere near this bad, and it's only for one cut. So I have no idea why so much of this outro is this bad. I can't remember. Did it resolve itself on the next box set, Bob?
No,
remember?
I think it was still busted.
Man, that's...
I wish I still had the downloads from way back when I watched this originally, because I bet it looked better.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is insane. I have no idea what happened.
It would not be hard to look better than this. This literally looks technically fucked up. You fucked it up. Anyways... So I write, this is how I write this in the notes. Holy shit, what's wrong with this outro? This is goddamn Blu-ray. Line break indent, this is still better than Happy People.
Yes.
We then cut to our Cone segment. Cone's segment this time is literally them just having him repeat what he said about all the squad leaders, the captains, and lieutenants with no, like, wrapping around it. So it just...
Yeah, they just couldn't get it done, so they were like, let's just replay the old ones.
Yeah, exactly. It's just playing all the old ones, and it's really fucking weird. We get our new intro again. Bob is still losing it over Ichigo's juggalofication in the intro.
Yeah, I love it. It's so good. What a good intro.
Right before it pops up with the title, you get to see Ichigo like smiling towards the camera, and then you do a fade between him with clown makeup on and off. It's really good.
I'm going to become the Joker.
I write a note. I'm seeing Renji in this intro and thinking about how sad it is that he is genuinely dead and never coming back.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's real terrible. We get back to the bridge. We're in the episode for real now. Ichimaru says, "You're so rude, Rukia, for not calling me Captain Ichimaru." And then she goes, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "Just kidding. We've known each other so long." Anyway, I just showed up to laugh at you.
So now he's a professor brother?
He basically is. He's a fucking piece of shit is what he is.
Yeah.
We cut to a flashback. It's really long. All you need to know is Rukia, when she first met Ichimaru, made her think of a snake and felt as though she was in the grasp of a snake.
Man, I thought the jokes about Blaze Blue just stealing him were exaggerated, but no.
Oh, yeah, no.
Not in the fucking least.
What if he was green?
What if he was green?
Yeah, that's it. Now you've got Azaba. You did it.
Yeah. The biggest change in history.
Azaba's literally a palette swap. It's fucking weird. Anyways, Ichimaru then goes, "Renji's not dead yet." And Ruki is like, "What?" And then he goes, "It's kind of pathetic. He tried to save you, but got cut to pieces." No. You don't want Renji and the others to die trying to rescue you, do you? Well, I could save you right now. And then the four people escorting her are like, "Are you fucking serious?" Then he goes, "I could save you from execution and save all the others. I could save you right now." Just kidding. And then he leaves. And Rukia is just so
starts
upset.
Coping. Yes.
Turning him into Mandark.
That's not wrong.
Rukia screams sicko at the top of her fucking lungs. She's just so upset. You can hear the blood coming out of her vocal cords, and Ichimaru literally blows a load in his pants right there. You can tell. So for anyone who somehow this is your first episode of Chugging Bleach, one, you did it wrong. Two, get used to this. So Captain Scar Dude, who I forgot the name of temporarily, is fucking up Buckethead and the other one.
Wait, hold on. Can you give me that again? Because even I don't know where we are.
It's Kenpachi.
It's Kenpachi Zaraki, which my next line says.
Oh, okay.
Captain Scar Dude.
I truly was lost.
Don't you remember we left off with Captain Scar Dude fucking up Buckethead and the other one?
I feel really bad that I can't remember either of those dudes' names.
I feel like
Tosin is the one he's fighting directly, and I cannot remember Buckethead's name. Komamura?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that one, so it must be right.
It gets hard to remember things when a series has 700 characters.
Yeah, I was beating myself up about this, and then eventually I went, man, come on, there are like 40 main characters, so fuck.
I wonder why so many modern shonen shows just is every time a character shows up on screen, here's their name and title.
Oh, man, that's a good idea.
It is. At some point, it gets annoying of like, this is just always here.
But I've watched My Hero Academia where they still just do it at the start of every episode when they appear
fewer
on
characters. Goddamn!
Yeah,
you.
I was gonna say. Does My Hero have as many characters that Bleach does at this? Okay,
yes.
I figured that was its thing.
It just keeps expanding the same way.
It keeps going.
I know it's great,
but see, never mind. I haven't seen it. I'm not gonna assume things about it. So, yeah, anyways, Captain Scar Dude is fucking up Buckethead in the other one. Kenpachi Zaraki, as Captain Scar Dude is also known as, killed the last captain to take his place is some lore that's dropped, and that's pretty fucking raw.
Yeah, I was wondering when they were going to get to this.
Scar Dude starts fighting him instead of Buckethead, and he has this really cool technique where he's got, like, a little buckle almost hanging out on the edge of his sword, and there's a ring inside of it, and as he spins the ring with spirit energy, it gets bigger and bigger, and several rings appear out of that one ring, and then black holes appear, and then he makes an entire giant sphere area that is completely dark, where all senses are robbed, and I'm like, did this happen at Yu Yu Hakusho? And that's all I could think about.
Maybe.
And
Who's asking?
I just thought about that for a moment. And anyway, so the entire area is his Bankai, and now Zaraki is blind and deaf.
So would you say that this is a large and unwieldy Bankai?
I would say that this might be the act of an enemy stand or a territory. Why would you ask such a specifically phrased question, Bob?
Nothing that happened last episode. Just wondering if you would classify this.
This totally took 10 years to figure out. It's a very advanced technique, not just, you know, making an area.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. This guy, which, I don't remember his name, and I'm trying to remember design aesthetics about him other than his cool shades.
He's Tosin.
He monologues about how Zaraki's now blind, and that he's always been blind, and that he was born in the darkness, molded by it.
Yes.
Oh.
As he
stinkos a little bit.
just a little. And as he monologues about this, Zaraki interrupts him by trying to hit him.
Yeah, like, dude.
Reminding you why it's the best character in Bleach.
You're doing this to the guy who wears bells in his hair so he's more easily found.
I mean,
what are you doing?
Exactly.
How stupid are you?
You did this to the guy who doesn't think before swinging. Like, he's just all rage and fury. Like, come on, man.
Last session, he just tanked a bunch of sword hits just cuz.
Yeah, so we cut to outside of this Bankai. 69 man sees the other guy used his Bankai, and he hasn't finished owning the peacock yet. Peacock explains that 5 is really close to 3, and he hates 4. The show might be incredibly great or absolutely mind-boggling if you have not watched the episodes.
Yes.
Let us know in the comments below. So anyway, Peacock explains that keto attacks are for idiots and cowards, and he earned my instant respect.
Yes.
Then he goes, let me show you my son Bakuto. This is confidential, of course. And the other guy gets really upset hearing that. Just a concept of like, oh yeah, sure, I won't share your Sabacto and how it works. Fucking dick. We then cut to Spike Spencer, known medicine man, healing Renji.
Yes.
Renji's come to, and he's fine. And he's like, wow, thank you for saving me, Spike Spencer.
Yes.
Spike Spencer goes, well, I didn't do most of the healing. There's only one person who could have healed Renji well enough for you to survive until I showed up. But don't worry about that for now. And, you know, Renji gets a vision of who that might be. We cut back to Zaraki. Zaraki's literally fucking bored. He's like, I really hate waiting to counterattack. This sucks. What a boring battle. This is terrible. I wish I could rip and tear. I bet he's got guts. Big guts. And then as he's going insane from boredom, because he straight up just Doomslayer tier, he imagines his allies giving him advice, and all of their advice sucks.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yes. It was so good. It kept going. I was like, clearly they're going to do like one, two. Oh my God, it keeps going.
Why don't you just try dying? That's a good trick.
That's a good trick. In a flashback, oh, wait, 1 second. So what happens is blind dude attacks him again, Tosin, and he grabs the dude's arm as he attacks it, slashes him up his face, and he's like, oh, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I could see you because I grabbed your arm. And then he let go of him, and then he's like, come on, attack me again, it'll be great.
It's going to be raw.
Next time I'm going to dodge before you even inflict any damage on me, and then I'm just going to wreck you. And then the blind guy starts having a flashback, and he remembers a person who...
You okay?
I'm sorry, it's the funniest thing in these set of episodes, and I need to post the video. In this Discord, at least.
What?
He remembers... 1 second. He remembers someone who wanted to become a Soul Reaper, and before he could finish the sentence, they died! It was the funniest fucking flashback in Bleach history.
Yeah, it was so much worse than even the kids in Rukan District with Ruki and stuff. Oh, yeah. It was even worse than that.
It was just, this is a parody level. We bust the gun.
3 seconds and she's already dead.
Yeah. I'm going to go become a Soul Reaper, but she died.
Like, it's literally how it goes.
And as he thinks about this and he's all mopey about it, Zaraki goes, I'm not interested in fighting someone with one foot in the grave. What use is a dead man?
You can't fight anymore.
Exactly.
That's what he said.
It's really good. I really like this guy. Tosin then says, Zaraki says, if you want to die, I'll help you, because he's tired of the shit. And then Buckethead shows up with his bucket head to block the blow. And that's when he becomes the furry.
Whoa. Yes.
And Zaraki goes, so that's what's under that basket.
Ooh. And then, like, Zaraki's really accepting of it, and Buckethead still won't accept that he's accepting of it. And it's like, oh, no, you don't care about what's on the inside. It's like, okay.
All right. This is weird.
Be racist at me.
Yeah, that's basic.
I'm really upset. I was prepared for it. I wanted to get offended. Why aren't you being racist at me?
Yes. Yeah, it was fucking weird. But Zaraki, you know, he doesn't see skin color. He sees, finally I could kill you, and then you could go and reincarnate, and then I could kill you all over again. And I'm like, man, he just sidestepped the being racist thing, going straight to, I'm a psychopathic axe murderer. That's all I care about. What a fucking insane guy. I love him. He literally yells that at him. There's no lead.
Yeah, of course not.
So anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't he actually summon his Bankai in this episode before it ends?
Oh, yeah. He does. Yeah. That's a very important note.
Yeah, it's very big armor suit.
Yeah, big and unwieldy. You'll need 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Episode 54. There's someone in the crowd. I don't know her name. Anyway, she says, shocking lack of people showing up to this execution. Head captain goes, any last words before your execution, Rukia? She goes, yeah, just one. We then cut to one of the captains. He's not ready for the ritual. He's not showing up in time for the execution. His subordinates are very, very concerned about him. Door opens. He apparently broke the seal on some crazy shield thing. It's going to destroy the Sokyoku because they denied his appeal. This is some tense political drama.
This is wow. If going by other flashbacks that we've seen, I thought he'd just give up.
Yes.
No.
This is
not just let her die.
This is the only... Now he has become the character he's known to be instead of
true,
that character
not,
was in the flashback for one instant.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, that dude should just die.
Then wouldn't it be cool, though, if he just died?
So we cut to the crew, all of Ichigo's friends running along with pink hair and some scrubs. And pink hair gives us a detail that's very interesting. She's like, okay, we got to get there. I got to help, you know. I got to get there to help. And they're like, oh. Or Hime's like, oh, thank you, Yachiru. Thank you so much for helping us. And she goes, what are you talking about? Who said I'm helping you? I'm helping Ichi because Ichi's Kenny's new best friend.
What the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
Yep.
We cut back to the execution. The head captain promises that Rukia won't have to worry about her friends. So now... Rukia can die with some peace of mind. This is what Unohana says to the other lady, anyways.
I think it's funny that they translated. She's only going to say one word, and somehow she got all that out.
I know.
It's like, maybe you should have changed that a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. So, this thing is a little weird to describe, but we basically have a giant wooden arch and a crazy tall spear, and the crazy tall spear is tied to the ground via these ropes, and the ropes tethering it to the ground explodes off. Rukia is serene, thanks to her brother, and thanks her brother for calmly ignoring her as she's going to be executed. Cubes appear. One cube holds each arm at the wrist level without even touching them. And then another cube appears below her, and they all levitate her all the way up to the wooden bar that goes above in the arch, which is like a billion miles in the sky.
Yeah.
And then shit starts getting crazy. A fire tornado starts arcing off of the blade. The ropes exploded off earlier. The blade starts levitating now. The blade turns into Moltres. I figured out which Pokemon it was. I was very proud of myself. Bob didn't win at all. I yelled it real fast.
Like, what? It's a race?
I'm like, it's Moltres. Yeah, I got it. I know who that Pokemon is. And then I tried to write a joke about Gold's Legendary, and I literally forgot the name of Gold's Legendary because it sucks that much shit.
It's Ho-Oh.
What, Ho-Oh?
Ho-Oh sucks.
Well, remember when it was rainbow in the anime? Mean.
Yes, I think about how it's the rainbow in the anime. Then you get it in the real game and it's like, I suck. And you're like, come on, man.
It's fine.
Ookie's design is so much better. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Pokemon. That's a different stretch goal on our podcast, Patreon, one day. Anyways.
Stop it.
The head captain says, Moltres is Sokyoku's ultimate form.
Yes.
To deliver the ultimate punishment. Rukia thinks to herself that her heart leaves nothing behind because everyone will be safe. And then she imagines Ichigo and starts silently crying. Then Ichigo appears and he stops the bird from killing her, and whoa, what a badass. He looks handsome. He looked handsome. He's got his prom dress on.
He does.
It's very, very cool. Somebody in the crowd, I did not know who, yells, the Sokyoku has the power of a million Sanpakuto. How could he stop it with just one?
A billion, yeah. A trillion, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that really did, that sure was a number shown out.
Yep.
He's as strong as 100 Jirens.
Yes, he totally is. Captain Ukitake shows up with the shield. They slam it onto the ground. They slot two swords into it and shove it down deeper into the shield, which explodes ropes upward and around the neck of the bird, leashing it and then exploding the bird. It's very cool. Ichigo, as he talks about right now, his eyes are going nuts with a blue filter. That's how you know he's strong. Anyways, he does a vertical strike that explodes the overarching bar, or as they call it, the stand. He explodes the enemy stand with a vertical strike.
Yeah, he like shoves his sword into the whole thing and then it all blows up. It's very cool.
It also blows up the ground way below it.
It does, but Rukia's fine.
Yeah, and Rukia's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. He controlled the power of a million Zabaktu very carefully. Very, very carefully. Renji shows up. Ichigo's like, hey, Renji, what's up? Yeah, that's great. Anyway, we got to run, so here's Rukia. He just tosses Rukia at him like a baseball.
Yes.
It's insane. The whole time he's winding up for the pitch, everyone's like, you got to be shitting me. There's no way.
She's like, I'd rather just die. I should have been just set on fire.
Yep. She said that 12 million times because that's what Rukia says during this fucking arc.
Yes.
Rukia's private Twitter is public.
Oh no.
But yeah, Renji catches her and just starts running away. Immediately chased by lieutenants who were commanded by their captains to pursue Renji. Or was it the head captain who
I think it was the head captain who commanded all of them.
Head captain barked that order. And as soon as they try to chase Renji, Ichigo intercepts and owns them all instantly without even using his Zabaktu. He's just punching them. It's ridiculous.
I think it's really funny how he basically eviscerates the first two and like, oh, you're the girl, so I'll lightly trip you to the ground.
Yeah, I'll open palm strike you just on your ass. Like, it was, yeah, that is absolutely what happened.
I'm going to forge my sword. It's a bowling ball with spikes. It shattered faster than it took to make it.
Yep. That's absolutely what happened. And then as Ichigo, the second all of these lieutenants are on their ass, Kuchiki attacks Ichigo, and it's very cool. And then it pops up to be continued. And then we begin the most seizure-inducing ending segment so far.
Yes!
Radio Cone Golden Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers. It shows a little skit that tells you that some Afro dude has been sent to take Rukia's place fighting Hollows, but then the ass-eating squad shows up and tramples on him. That's the whole skit. That's it.
Be glad it wasn't a whole episode.
I am. Yeah. I am, because that's all I could think, too. Episode 55 starts. First note. Recap.
We don't even
first
need that note.
Skip to 3 minutes in.
Yes. I this is when I regretted not counting how long the recaps were. Ichigo's like, you're sitting here asking me why I'm going to save Rukia. I don't understand why you won't save your own sister. And Kuchiki goes, I won't explain why I won't save my sister to you because the principle of the matter would go over your head. Words serve no purpose. Prepare to die. And then Ichigo throws off his cool cape with the cool symbol on it. And then the head captain demands that no one moves. Aside from Ichigo and Kuchiki, who are now fighting each other.
Well, yeah, he can't control them. They're way too chad.
Yes, exactly. The two captains who betrayed the head captain whoosh the fuck out. They're done with this. They just leave. Because apparently, and I really genuinely miss this moment, Straw Hat, who I've forgotten the name of, was somehow complicit in betraying the captain.
Oh, he helped out with the wrapping of the Sokyoku using that shield thing.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I thought that was the two lieutenants who helped Ukitake.
He was helping too.
Okay. I missed that.
Yeah, because there's he was contemplating it a few episodes ago when he was asking his lieutenant, like, what should I do? He's like, you're just gonna do whatever you want. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Nano. That's what I always do. And then he gets back to day drinking.
Well, that's his character, yes.
What day drinking at 10 a.m.
Yeah, what a cool dude. So the two captains, Ukitake and the other one, get the fuck out. They flash step the fuck out of there. It's so fucking anime. They're just like, as they run down the edge of the cliff, it's very, very cool. They're running a million miles away. And then we cut back to the crowd. The Makoto-esque one kicks Kyone for not stopping her captain from getting away because that's ridiculous. Why would you let your captain escape? How fucking dare you? And she just screams at Kyone for this. Yoruichi flies through the air to tackle this one person off of the whole cliff. And this Makoto-esque lady goes, "Who are you anyway? It can't be you." And then Yoruichi shows her face.
Yeah, because she showed up wearing a mask that lasts 2 seconds.
2 seconds, just so we could get that line out. Just long enough to get that line out. We then cut to Unohana, who is flying away on her Sky Manta Ray. She took all the harmed lieutenants away from the battlefield so they could heal. There's a line in here about, all the rest of the lieutenants are sitting in the Manta Ray's gullet, like in its stomach, and the healing process has been expedited by the Manta Ray's stomach.
Yeah.
Nom, nom.
So they land.
Well, I mean, it's got Bankai. It's got to be big and unwieldy.
Yeah, that's correct. That's what it is, and it took her 10 years. So as they land, and underlings come out to try to heal the lieutenants and stuff, Unohana goes, "Come with me, Hisane. There's a certain place I would like to visit." And that's all we'll hear about that for the rest of these episodes.
Yes.
Goodbye, Unohana.
These episodes kind of have the vibe of the climax of the Phantom Menace, where there's 8 things happening at once.
So we cut back to the two captains and the Nanao running, and then they stop. And where they stopped apparently is where the head captain already is.
Yes.
Because he's that awesome.
Yeah, we glazed over a bit, but they were running like, "Yeah, we need to get away because if he does anything anywhere near anyone, they die."
Yeah. While running, the two captains are like, "At least if we've run away, only the two of us will die."
Yes.
For a moment here, Nanao tries some shit, and the head captain's stare wrecks her completely. He is the horizon. He is the skybox. She starts sweating to death, basically. And then Straw Hat has to intervene and just be like, "Hey, don't look at him. Look at me. I'm eternal. Anyways, I'm gonna get you out of here." Just flash steps her ass out of there, comes back, and the head captain's like, "Oh wow, that was really fast. You're really fast. It's very cool. Anyways, here's some lore. I made this academy. You two are like my sons, blah blah blah. First graduated, blah blah blah. The time for words has passed." And then he becomes ripped as shit as flames go everywhere because he has a shitload of scars, and he makes a weird hand bone crunching sound, and it's really weird, but he's got like fire coming out of everywhere, and then he shoots fire out at the two captains, and all the things of the universe will turn to ashes is the thing he says, and then he goes, "Ryujin Jaka!"
I started clapping when he held his arms out so all his clothes would fall off, and I'm like, "Oh man, he's ripped. This is cool."
I laughed my
ass. He's all hopped up on bath salts.
Yes, he is. And then we get our illustrated guide to Soul Reaper's Golden Cone.
Ooh.
I have a note. I will read it verbatim. Another skit that doesn't fit, and even Ichigo calls out that it isn't an illustrated guide to Soul Reapers at all.
Yeah.
What's funny? I remember these. Before we started the show, did not remember the previous bit.
Oh,
please
wow.
Be excited.
No. Episode 56 starts. Peacock is walking down an alley and singing about he's searching for Zaraki. It's very cool. The furry and the blind guy both ran off instead of fighting. They saw the flames and just ran off. And it's just like, man, fuck you, Bleach. Like, right. Come on.
He's like, "No, we're not getting this fight. Sorry."
Oh. No, you don't
get that. Oh, you're going to hate this show.
Yeah.
Maybe. That is a distinct possibility. The honeymoon's been great, though. Anyways, Peacock looks even better now than he did before the fight. He didn't get a single scratch, but his clothes got a little dirty, so he had to go change clothes. But Zaraki points out that he looks very handsome, and he's like, "Yeah, thank you for saying this." Apparently, Peacock Senpakuto drains spiritual energy because we cut to 69 and just on his ass, lying down, sweating. He's just like, "He strained all my spirit energy. What bullshit."
Right? Like, I also thought we'd get to see that fight. But
nope.
No, that was it. He literally just looks at him and takes his energy. It's over.
I'm more okay with that than, "Here's this fight I summoned by Bankai." Next time we cut back, they left.
Yeah, no, that is really
funny. I summoned a 50-foot kaiju. Nothing happened.
Just imagine, right? Any scene that goes like that, right? You set up this whole thing about people waiting to get inside a restaurant. They sit down at the table. When we cut back to them, they didn't eat. They just left.
Someone stole the breadsticks and silverware.
Look, it takes a certain kind of gusto, which I appreciate, but it's not very satisfying, though.
Yeah. So, as we describe it, the head captain, Sampakto, is the oldest and greatest of them all. The place they're fighting in, by the way, is the Old District.
Which is apparently all torn apart.
Yeah, they just let this place look like shit.
Someone, like, it's half deconstructed. That's what gets me. It's like, clearly it's been destroyed, but not been rebuilt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird.
But it's basically the Bleach version of that field that they go to.
In DBZ. Yeah. Absolutely. Which is weird because the cliff they're doing the execution on is also that.
Yeah, a little bit.
That was a thought I had in the moment of like, yeah, but that's also the field. But that was literally the field. Just do some color correction. Now it's Namek.
It all goes back down to every single fight scene on Japanese TV happening in that one quarry.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Family tradition. In this battle in the Old District, Ukitake and Kyoraku release their Zanpakutos. They clash. We cut away, of course. We cut to Kukaku Shiba. She's talking to a huge guy.
One thing we don't want to miss. Those okay. two guys have the only tool dual Zanpakutos in existence.
Oh.
Something yep. I'm sure will never go contradict.
I am writing that note in right now. They have please. Only two dual Zanpakutos in existence. Okay, there we
they're
go.
They're really cool. Sometimes they make the picture move. Sometimes they don't.
Well, so this set of episodes,
mm-hmm.
there's a thing that popped into my head multiple times, and Dan is the only person who even conceivably could know what I'm talking about. Uh-oh. So I hope he does.
Oh my God.
Dan, are you familiar with Buttlord GT?
Yes, of course. I am.
I multiple times thought about when the Gohan analog punches the Freezer analog.
Yes.
And they go, oh no, we've shifted to the second tier fight animation
yes.
team. Yes. And everyone looks bad.
Everyone looks bad. They're upset. They scream at him. They're like, you fucking idiot. The B team's animating us now. We're doomed. Yes.
Oh no, I hate
this. I thought of that a lot.
You talked about this before, and you showed me some of Buttlord GT like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very important.
Maybe when we started watching Bleach.
That is where the line, I believe, get ready to hold on to your butts, butt holders?
Comes from. Hold on to your ass holders.
Ass holders. But I changed it to get ready to grab ass grabbers because that's funnier. But anyway, that's not important. Let's move on. Then none of this is Bleach. We cut to Kukashiba. She's talking to a huge guy, Jidambo, about some unfinished business with Yoroichi. And it's very mysterious and cool. And we need to definitely add more threads right now.
This one will be very important, I'm sure.
Yes, it better be. It better be. It better goddamn be, because it's the 300th thread added into this episode. We cut to Yoroichi, who is fighting Makoto. It is very cool.
You mean Soyphone?
No, yeah, I mean Makoto. Sorry, my notes don't say her correct name until next episode. Anyways, so Yoroichi is fighting okay. Makoto. It's very cool. It's she says it's such a shame to see the corruption of the Shihon clan. You're helping a Ryoka launch a full scale invasion, is what Makoto says to Yoroichi. Makoto apparently has all the power now because she commands the stealth force, who all show up and look bored.
Yeah.
The most generic motherfuckers in this entire show.
I'd like to bring up real quick.
Sure.
This one thing she does, where she summons them, ruins her moveset in every game she's in.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I never even thought of this.
Yeah, it's terrible. And we'll get to that in a second as to why, like how irrelevant it is.
Okay, so anyway, she does that, right? And, They all look bored. They look like a depression medication ad for ninjas. Anyways, they all get owned instantly because Yoroichi is very cool and just appears transparency in front of each of them as a flash occurs.
Okay, they get owned in less than a second.
And then Yoroichi goes, you know, just because I gave up the title of the head of the... what is it?
The punishment force.
Punishment force. Doesn't mean I gave up my other title. And then Makoto goes, Flashmaster Yoroichi. That's not a real title, you know. And as they say this, the fight choreography for them gets so funny that I go, they must kung fu fight. That's all note says.
Yeah, some of that I'm like, this is... Ugh, because by this point, I think I ran out of Blu-ray.
Oh,
so
oh,
I had no. So I had to watch it on 360p or some shit on Hulu.
Oof.
Yeah, I know. So it felt extra bad.
Yeah. Well, better this than some better content, I guess. Because this fight isn't incredible.
I think there's some neat things they do with that.
There are like three cool things across this one and the next episode.
Yeah.
I think there are three cool ideas. The sword that Makoto was using becomes a finger claw, which has a cool technique. The technique, apparently, if she attacks you twice in the same spot, you instantly die, which is a great technique if you think about it. We do some flash step stuff. Yoruichi's flash stepping, Makoto's flash stepping, black and white dimension. Very cool. Apparently, during that, Makoto landed a strike, so a butterfly appears on Yoruichi. She has given her the death mark. Yoruichi starts running. There's a midair clash and a grapple. Yoruichi's face is slashed. It's all very, very cool. And as Makoto sits here and brags about her cool technique she totally thought up herself, Yoruichi goes, this technique isn't new. It's called Shunko. And then as she explains this energy, this element of why they don't cover the shoulders and other things, because of this technique she's going to use, it's because her energy, her spiritual pressure is going to explode off her shoulders and other stuff, the clothing on them. So she calmly explains, this ability will strip me nude, and that's okay, normal, actually.
That's fine.
That's fine, and actually, I'm very cool.
I feel like we really brushed past Soy Fon's video game ass power.
Feel free to elaborate, absolutely.
Let me look up the exact mechanics of it, because it's insane.
Because, yeah, as she lands a strike on a different limb or whatever, a butterfly appears on each part that she lands the blow. And if she just lands the blow one more time,
she has to hit you in the exact same spot with it twice.
Yes.
It's like she's a fucking character in the Arx's Fist of the North Star game. She has to fill all the little nodes to the left of her health bar. Yes. And she can do her instant kill.
Yoruichi, as she's exploding with this energy, though, and exploding off her clothes, goes, you better be careful, because not even I can control this technique very well.
I think it's really funny they bring up how the punishment uniform doesn't cover the sleeve or the arms and the back of the neck, because at the beginning of this fight, Soy Fon had to tear off her sleeves.
Yep.
And then once she did that, Yoruichi then noticed that she was in the punishment outfit and was like, but didn't she just rip it? What's
happening? She was clearly wearing something else on top.
I guess.
She had her like captain cloak on top.
Yeah, she had the captain cloak on top.
So she teared off her sleeves, then took it off. Okay.
Yeah, because it looked cool. And someone went to draw the ripping, okay?
Yeah. Kubo wanted to draw the ripping.
We then cut to the illustrated guide to Soul Reapers.
I don't even take notes on these.
Kon became fake Ichigo instead of a plush and joins the kids' soccer team to get porn from them.
It's a good arc.
As good of an arc as Kon has had in the last 20 episodes.
I felt something.
Episode 57. Yoruichi says, I didn't want to show you the Shunko technique because it was too dangerous. You're not ready to use this yet. Makoto, screaming, upset that she's not stronger than Yoruichi as she gets owned, goes, why? Why am I not stronger than you? By now, weren't you a shut-in for a century? Flashback.
What a great way to end.
It's just her being gay. That's all it is.
I know, I know. Just wait for my notes, please. From this day forward, Soy Fon is sitting there, who, you know, has a name now, not just Makoto, is sitting there watching Yoruichi, Princess Yoruichi, cross a bridge above. And a ninja who is the depression ninja from earlier blatantly says, from this day forth, your name will be Soy Fon and you will serve her from this day forth and everything that is ours is hers and blah, blah, blah. Soy Fon is shown owning people in her ninja training. Yoruichi tosses her like a rag. This makes Soy Fon worship her. She goes, just call me Yoruichi. Soifeng goes, I could never disrespect you like that. Instead, can I call you Lady Yoruichi instead? And she goes, I guess. I'm here. You're here for your skills, not your respectness. This is where it just gets absolutely unreal. So Yoruichi's crossing that same bridge, but now she's in a more proper like ninja outfit instead of that princess garb from earlier. Soifeng's hanging out on the side of the bridge with all the other depression ninjas. And then Yoruichi just walks up to her and goes, buzz, buzz. Do you hear that? Buzz, buzz. Buzz, buzz. And she goes, those are the thoughts bouncing around in your head. So we cut to them training. Yoruichi is training Soifeng on how to wield a sword. Soifeng knows she sucks. Yoruichi goes, you remind me of myself. I've come to think of you as a little sister. That's enough talk. Have you noticed there's a full moon out tonight? Anyway, I'm just going to take a nap on your lap now, and it's not romantic because I just established we're sisters now.
Gay. Homosexual.
Homosexual. Gay.
No. Not if you read the text and don't read any deeper than that.
There's no such thing as subtext. That's for cowards.
Yeah, no. No such thing.
I thought it was really funny when the sword wielder or the non-sword wielders were teaching each other how to wield swords.
Yep. So we cut to Soifeng in the current timeline who says, you left me, so I grew to hate you because you broke up with me and I'm jilted and I hate you because you betrayed me, so I'm so done with you and then so I hate you.
Gay.
And then Soifeng starts crying and says, why didn't you take me with you? And then we cut to two dudes sitting in the woods talking about how the lightning was in fact Aikido during the fight between Yoruichi and Soifeng. And the bald guy talks about how the other guy was born talented and a jack of all trades. That's why he can use Aikido. And the bald guy isn't like that. And then the other guy says, no, I trained to do this. And they're just getting shit-faced, drinking sake. Bald guy accuses Shades Man of only becoming a lieutenant to impress his mother.
Yeah. I really like how they're both obviously done up with bald guy's medical paste.
Yes.
Yep.
That's a nice little touch. Or like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this?
Right? Like, it seems like they're only fighting because there's some weird obligation they don't actually care about.
Yeah.
They run out of sake and then they say they'll settle it the usual way. So they start to set up for a battle, and then they also notice Ichigo's way cooler battle. But then they, you know, start to battle each other anyways to see who has to get more sake and who can sit around and do nothing. And Jesus Christ, this is the most insane filler. We cut to Ichigo. Ichigo demands that Byakuya pulls out his Bankai and gets on with the fight for real. Byakuya says the most fucking... like, he's a character in Super Mario RPG, the crocodile. He says, you will die, but it is 1,000 years too soon for you to die by my Bankai.
And then you have to run around the bush and then touch them again. It's like, it'll be 5 million years.
Yep.
And then I'm like, please, this fight technically started 5 episodes ago. Please do something. And
give
then,
me back my frog coins.
And then when are we going to get to the fireworks factory?
Ichigo's not having this shit. So... like, instead of dealing with the bullshit from these petals, he sends out a giant shockwave to destroy them all. Zangetsu apparently absorbs all of Ichigo's spirit energy when he swings it, but Ichigo has never aimed it all at anyone. This is why I own Byakuya so thoroughly. He's bleeding and shit now, and all of his petals disappeared. It was very cool. And Zangetsu says, knowing the name of an attack makes it 1,000 times more powerful. So says Zangetsu. This is important.
Yeah, of course.
So then he goes, by the way, its name is this. There you go. That's important lore. Everyone keep track of that.
Okay.
And then the fucking episode ends. And we get the illustrated guide to Soul Reaper's Golden Cone. Cone is in Ichigo's body double and freaks out his sister. That's it. End of the 6 episodes. There's your summary.
Thank you, Dan. That was
thank
a lot.
Thank you very much.
Jesus.
That was a lot.
Next time we'll be at the fireworks factory.
The arc has to end in the next 6, so come hell or high water.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got for segments.
Oh,
right. We have new intros and outros, so we can rate those. Going to do 1 to 10. All right. Let's do the intro first. KZ, what do you think of the new intro?
I like this one a lot. It's one that I consistently remember because it was, you know, in this arc. I don't like it as much as the last one. But I still enjoy it, especially when the dude just incomprehensibly screams. I'll give it like a 8. Yeah.
Cool. I'll go ahead and rate it next. I also like this intro a decent bit. I think his juggaloification is very funny. and the incoherent screen is pretty good. I'm going to give it a 7, though. It's not as strong as the last one. It might just be because the downgrade is so substantial from the last one that I have to rate it a little lower. But I still enjoy it. I still think it's a good intro. Dan?
So I'm going to give this a... I'm going to give this a 6. Here's why. The song's a 7. It's not terrible. It's pretty good. It's nowhere near greatness like last time. But the actual intro itself, aside from the Ichigo transition thing, which is just funny because it's bad, the intro itself, editing-wise and other things, kind of just a bad intro. I would honestly give it a 5. It's not the worst I've seen, but it's just incredibly forgettable, I think, outside of Ichigo juggaloification. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give this a 6 overall. I'm going to give it a 6.
I think the thing that stuck with me the most over the years is that the very end of the intro where the sky's opening up and tons of hands are reaching through.
Yeah.
Like, that's really striking.
Yeah, the Nachos Bel Grande are coming out.
Yeah, that's true. The Crunch Wraps are coming.
Phil, what do you think of this intro?
It's okay. It's really hard to hold on to in my memory. It has the energy to me of like when a long running series has like every other opening is good. And then there's like the ones like it's been long enough for us to change it, but we're still in the same arc. What do we do?
Yeah, it does feel like they should have just waited till the next arc to get a new one.
I'll give it like a 6. It's not terrible, but it doesn't like I'm having difficulty holding on to it in my memory. In contrast to the previous one, which is real easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, you're real good.
You're right, because I think about the previous one was just showing the setting and them doing things and showing the characters. Here are the characters and here are things that are directly just going to happen in these episodes.
Yep. All right, outro time. I'll let Dan go first on this one.
There was an outro?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Can I delay my rating until next episode?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to do that because I need more time to sit with it.
We'll come back around. Feel.
I'm going to give it a 4. Okay. I'm never a big fan of the slowly panning down the characters being still just standing there style of endings, which are a lot.
It is very stereotypical in that sense. I guess I'll go.
And I've seen so many of them, I don't even think it's like a good one of those.
No, it's not. KZ, go ahead.
I didn't like the visuals for this. I also don't think the song's very good, so I'm just going to give it a 3. Like, it's just, I forgot it and then remembered it as the one. Oh, I remember not liking this.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't break the pace like Happy People, but also that's almost resembling a song I could listen to, and this is not.
Yeah, you could listen to that song on Nick Jr.
Yeah, here we go.
Happy People.
As far as I'm concerned, all I could think of when I watched it was, honestly, the song kind of reminds me of like if an Inuyasha ending was off-key and bad.
Holy shit.
You fucking got it.
So I really don't think too highly of this. It's less upsetting than Happy People. I don't remember what I rated that. So I'll just go ahead and set this at 5. It's not terrible. It's not awful. I can deal with it. But also it's horribly interlaced, which looks terrible. So I'm going to knock it down to a 4. Which might not even be on them.
I watched these episodes like today. I had to go back and look at it, and even the official Crunchyroll YouTube rip looks bad. It's horribly interlaced, so I feel like they just have no version of that that works.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, I'm looking at it, the text is just like looking through blinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. The best segment on this whole podcast. Who is the best dressed? Let's see. I'll let Phil go.
Peacock, because because he didn't get hurt and he went and changed his clothes.
He's so fresh and handsome.
It's fair. You know, it was pointed out in the episode.
Yeah, it was even pointed out.
That's true. You can't argue with that. No one pointed out anyone else's outfit. Well, that's not true. There's the Yorichi soy phone stuff.
KZ?
Renji. He was wearing his own blood. At one point, it was really cool.
Is this why he has the fur thing or not?
No, this is toward the end of his fight.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
who. He was wearing his own blood. It was very good.
That's what I was going to give it to. It was a very cool outfit.
Dan?
I guess I'll do Ichigo when he showed up to save Rukia. He had a really cool mantle on. It was very awesome.
Yeah, the cape is very cool. Definitely. Yeah,
it is very cool.
Probably his coolest look in the whole series.
Yes,
I've seen so many form signatures of that.
Yes!
Of course!
Specifically the one where he's holding the sword to his back and you can't see his eyes as he's about to take out the three jobbers.
It's a real shame that he eventually throws it off.
Look, he wasn't about to animate a whole fight scene with that.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. That would take a lot. I guess that just leaves me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I backed myself into a corner here. Let's see. I'll give it to Yorichi, because I think when she has the butterfly patterns on her outfit from being stabbed, it looks very cool.
I think she looked really cool when stabbed.
Yes. All right, let's see what other sections we got left here.
What do we have?
Bob's like, well, it's time for my union hour break.
Having a Winston cigarette.
Of course.
Okay.
Sorry,
let's see.
Wait, I'm Bob's cohort. I need to go.
You see, there's Jiren, right? And you're supposed to pick the villain of this. Oh, shit.
Different show.
Different show. Sorry. Because we did that 1 week. I don't know if that actually went well.
It didn't.
Yeah, probably not. I think Kenpachi just won it outright anyway, so whatever.
So whatever, yeah.
I mean, we already know that Ichigo is stronger than a million Zanbakutos, so obviously he's stronger than one Jiren.
Look, I don't know the current exchange rate between Jirens and Zanbakutos.
Who can beat Ichigo? A million and one Zanbakutos.
Darn it!
Hopefully damn. Jiren doesn't use Zanbakutos. Pretty sure he wouldn't, because that would be cowardice.
Okay, Phil, do you have a trivia that's insane for this set of episodes?
Okay.
Shit.
Is this true or false? Originally, Yoruichi's name was supposed to be Kuroneko, which translates to black cat. At some point, Kubo's editor went, no. Change it. Is this true or false? KZ, you first.
Sure. Why not?
Dan.
Yes.
Bob.
I'm going to say no, because that's way too reasonable.
The answer is yes, it is real.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, this is absolutely real.
It wasn't insane enough for me to immediately pin it.
Yep. I feel like the moment Phil said Kuroneko, and I'm like, that just means black cat. Yeah, of course this is real.
It wasn't black cat in a different language, though, okay? That's what threw me off. If he said Spanish for black cat, yeah, definitely, that's him.
Yeah, absolutely. L black cat.
All right,
El
finally.
Black gato.
The end of the episode's coming up here. We have to rate this set of episodes on our tightness scale, the custom tightness scale that goes from 0 to 25. Phil, I'll let you be first up.
I'm going to give these a 19 because there was stuff I liked, but it also really had the problem of please just pick one thing. Please pick one thing and let us see it to its conclusion and then go to a different thing.
Never.
Please stop cutting between all these things. Please do not have the big fight of the arc start 5 episodes before it actually starts.
Sorry. It's not going to happen. That's never going to be the case where we just pick up one thing and finish it.
What's wrong, Dan?
Yeah, Dan, do you want to tell us how tight this set of episodes was? Is that why you're groaning?
That sentence Bob just said makes my blood hurt as the guy who tries to get every star in Mario 64 before leaving the level.
I'm sorry. You have to go to another world to unlock the 9th and 10th Jiggy here.
Yes. Anyway, So there, this has some solid stuff in it. It really does. But it gets dinged a lot. That patent use of the guys out in the woods as filler for the last episode. Rampant flashbacks that don't need to happen.
Dan, Dan, that Tosin flashback's one of the best things in the series. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. But not, should give it 4 more points.
But not every flashback was necessary, especially to the lengths they went. That soy phone one definitely didn't need to be that long, especially when, you know, Feel summarized it in one guttural sound. So I'm just going to go ahead and give this a 16. There's some solid stuff in here, but man, it really gets dinged when you set up a fight with the Bankai, and when you come back to it, you go, yeah, they left.
Yeah. It's immaculate, you're right.
God. There's a lot of parts of this series where I'm like, I remember it just ending, something just ending abruptly right here. Surely that can't be my memory. Can't be right. And it's like, oh, it was.
Yeah, right on the fucking money. Jesus.
Yep.
It's doomed. Dan is doomed.
I'll go ahead and go. Let's see. I'm going to say, yeah, I like these a good bit. There was definitely some rough patches in there. But I'm still going to give it like a 21 because I really enjoyed the good stuff that was there. And I found it really funny when the Bankai guy just left.
I mean, the very first thing you see in this set of episodes is the Ichigo juggaloification.
Yeah, so then we get the amazing scene where Ichigo shows up to save her.
Yes.
And her Rukia being thrown like a football.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, it's... There's heroes on both sides. What do you think, KZ?
I'm with you. I think that this set of episodes was delightful. It has plenty of moments that I really like from this arc. A couple of slow points, but overall I think it was solid. I'm going to give it a 20.
Okay, well that brings the total up to a 76.
Ooh. Oh, compared to last session, which was a 39.
God, last session was really
rough.
Oh,
God, I can't even really remember. Oh, it had all those fucking
episodes. I was going to say, imagine the Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers, but an entire episode.
Yeah, it had another fucking Karakura Superheroes episode. No wonder we gave that.
Yeah, it was unpleasant.
That was the worst part, but the rest wasn't much better, and that was what was really bad.
Right.
Ukitake was portrayed by a character with different writing.
Yeah, I you know, you're upset with that Soy Fawn flashback, but at least the characters acted like you could expect of them. Oh, God, that was so bad.
But this was fine.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Whoa!
Wow, it's getting worse.
Life comes at you fast!
Thanks for listening. Shows like Mondo Cool and Chugging Bleach are only possible thanks to our wonderful supporters over on Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/gbpodcasts and pledge at the $5 or above level, you not only get early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool before they're released to the public, but you'll also gain access to exclusive shows like Armchair Devs Extra and Cursed Content by Committee. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.